Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Brolin Marks, good morning to you. Let's talk Israel. There has been, and I absolutely detest talking about these things, but I also know that it is a responsibility to do so. A terrible news article or a terrible scandal that has just been announced overnight in Israel with regard to the one of the co-founders of Zaka. Tell me about it.
Well, this is going to rock this country. It really is. I mean, in a week where we have seen explosive statements coming out in the media, this is really one of them. And these are the type of allegations that we take very, very seriously. These are allegations against the chairman and founder of Zaka, which is the emergency response group. We are all familiar with Zaka. Every time there is a terror attack or a disaster, including international disasters, the teams from Zaka are the first on the scene there. We all know those men in their neon jackets, often doing the unspeakable, which is cleaning up the area after a suicide bomb attack or the like. And their co-founder and chairman, Yehuda Meshi Zahav, who himself has quite an extraordinary personal story, personal background, he is now facing at least 6 allegations of sexual assault, rape and abuse by 6 different people, men and women. You know, this is absolutely, absolutely shocking. He's a very, very prominent figure in the ultra-Orthodox community. He was awarded the Israel Prize's Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, he's really somebody of incredible status and power, who many are saying maybe took advantage of this fact to do what he is alleged to have done. Also very concerning is Zaka have a women's branch, and they've actually, in fact, just given the president of WITSA, our president Esther Moore, the Eshet Chayil, the Righteous Woman Award, something we celebrated. And these extraordinary, extraordinary allegations.
Has there been any reaction, or is the news still too fresh for people to have reacted?
The news is very, very fresh. This has just come out in the headlines this morning. But this is something that is going to rock the whole country. It really is. This is somebody who is immensely respected. He was somebody who went on the record just a couple of weeks ago, having lost his mother and his father in close succession, and a brother to COVID-19, appealing to the ultra-Orthodox community to please respect the law, to please respect the lockdown laws. Somebody who we have taken very, very seriously because of the level of status that he enjoys. So this is one that's going to really rock the foundations of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, as we go into this, to contain what is relevant and what is not relevant. So this, although he might be a co-founder of Zaka, chairman, etc., doesn't impact necessarily on the work that they do. It doesn't necessarily impact on the community that he comes from. It's very hard to do that because all of these things do come together in some way. And the reason that we know of him is because of Zaka and because of the great work that he did there. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't need to be held absolutely responsible for these allegations, if they are found to be true, then he absolutely needs to face the consequences of that. And of course, he received the Israel Prize earlier this year. Was it this year or last year?
It was earlier this year. You know, especially coming through this crisis where Zaka, and rightly so, have been on the forefront. This is a highly respected organization, and as you said, we must reiterate it. We have to separate the man from the organization. You know, these allegations are absolutely damning. Over a period starting from 1983, this is, you know, nearly 40 years of these kinds of allegations, and the last being 2011. Of course, you know, if you know the history of Yehuda Meshi Zahav, he does have an interesting history. And this maybe is something that we also have to give him the benefit of a doubt, of the doubt that maybe he has acknowledged and has atoned for. However, this is coming to
what
the public.
What was that history?
Meshi Zahav was, you know, we could have made comparisons between him and the Natare Carter, somebody who, he was a very troubled youngster. He was somebody anti the state. He was somebody known for almost being a gangster, kind of criminal. And, you know, he's been quite famous in saying, you know, that this is my past. And, you know, I did have an epiphany. I did seek to better myself. Mm. And, you know,
I'm
now somebody who works for the improvement of this country.
Mm. Mm. Wow, what a difficult story to process. What an incredibly difficult story to process. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. I don't expect real answers. I just want to hear your reaction. What are you feeling when you hear this type of story? Because we don't know all of the facts yet. The allegations are very, very serious. Six different allegations. That is not a small number. It is clearly a very serious thing. I don't know how we process it, and I'm not there yet. But I'd love your thoughts. What are you feeling right now around about that? Can we also then as well please talk about the Netanyahus? Because there's been a lot of rumor around them and a secret contract that Sarah and her husband signed where she would have all these veto powers. Then he's going off to visit neighboring states and she's in hospital with appendicitis. Maybe yes, maybe no. What is going on there, please?
Well, first of all, you know, this is very funny. I mean, what you're speaking about, of course, is this video that's been on social media that claims that the Prime Minister and his wife, Sarah, have a legal contract between them that gives her control over aspects of Israel's national affairs. And, you know, of course, this is something also to be taken seriously because we didn't vote Sarah Netanyahu into power. She's not part of a political party and holds no formal office in the country. However, if you speak to the average Israeli and you say, who runs the country, they're going to tell you, Sarah Netanyahu. You know, she's been the butt of...
So it confirms everything everybody knew anyway.
Exactly. She's been the butt of these kind of jokes, I think, throughout the Prime Minister's premiership. And we can't forget he is the longest serving premier in Israel's history, beating even our first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion. But one of the vice presidents of Israel aerospace industry, he says he has, and again, this is somebody you take very, very seriously. You know, these aren't guys that mess around. These are people that come from our security echelon and work in the private sector. But he says that he has, or he's seen a 15-page contract that has both their signatures, and he says that this allows her veto, according to, you know, including things like who is appointed head of the Mossad or who is appointed head of the Shabak or the Shin Bet, which is our domestic security service and the Israeli military, you know, that it gives Sarah, you know, unbelievable power over the Prime Minister.
So
it's absolutely extraordinary.
He claims to have actually seen that document.
He claims to have seen this document, and he's not somebody that people are going to dispute. He says, you know, he has seen that. He says that people have been fired from their jobs for clashing maybe with the First Lady. He says that you know, she's free to take part in the most secret of meetings, even though she doesn't have any security clearance. He says that's what really, really jumps out at me. She's got no security clearance, and yet she can sit in these highly, highly confidential meetings.
Wow, absolutely, absolutely incredible. Rene says, going back to that story, the Zaka story, he's innocent until proven guilty. We must not prosecute him before he's found guilty. Right. So, but we, and she's talking about the rockets, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. And Sign says, this is coming from a leftist newspaper trying to undermine the Haredi community. This is typical of them to do this sort of, thing. It is a disgusting plot. Well, can we be sure about that? I don't know that we can say that with any certainty. Yes, I acknowledge, I don't read Haaretz, just so you know. I absolutely detest Haaretz, and I would read it to cover the full news, but they demand that you pay for it, and on principle, I won't pay to support Haaretz, so I don't read it, even though I know that I should. So it's not like I'm a supporter of Haaretz, but I am a supporter of dealing with these allegations and bringing them to light if they need to be spoken about, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel. And it makes me feel tremendously uncomfortable. I can't tell you how uncomfortable I am with this, because it just feeds into everything that we try and avoid, maybe around stereotypes, maybe around politicizing this type of thing. Let's not do that. Let's not politicize this. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at what happened. If something happened, then, and it is proven to be true, then he needs to face those consequences. But at the same time, I don't believe we can bury our heads in the sand and say that, well, we can't talk about it because it comes from a leftist newspaper. Rolene, that's my view. Yours.
I just want to be very, very clear. First of all, can we really lose this? It's the leftist, it's the rightist finger pointing blame. It really doesn't help.
It doesn't help. It's
unproductive. This is not a headline in Haaretz. In fact, I haven't seen Haaretz this morning. This is a headline that is actually across all the newspapers in Israel. Haaretz, funny enough, is the one feed that I don't get early in the morning, also because on principle I won't pay for it. So this is something that's making headlines across the board, across our newspapers in Israel. So please, please, can we lose this? It must be Haaretz, it must be leftist, because it also, if there are victims in this case, and again, innocent until proven guilty, you're completely discounting the rights of victims and their experience.
Absolutely. And Ansan says the women are probably from the left as well. Talk about stereotyping. Okay, just hold on a second.
It's unproductive.
Because what you're saying, Ansan, is, and what you're accusing perhaps us or perhaps the newspaper of doing is the very thing that you are doing yourself. And whereas I don't have the time to get into it, just think about that. Think about the fact, think about what you are doing right now, is you are politicizing and stereotyping and basically shutting down a conversation that needs to be had because you have determined, with no facts, you have determined that this is a plot. We don't know what it is and what it isn't. It's a big story. There are serious allegations, and it needs to be investigated, and we need to speak about it. Rolene, before I let you go, and there's so many messages about this, just tell us very quickly about the rockets, because that's a big story.
It is quite a big story, because things have been quiet for a while, but we have had rocket alerts and rockets fired from the Gaza Strip early out of this morning. In fact, it's so recent, we don't know if anything's been hit, if anything's been intercepted, but what we do know is that rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip in the early hours of this morning.
All right, and we'll, of course, keep an eye on that story. Rolene Marks, always interesting to chat to you. Never a dull moment in the Israel Report. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And, you are fully fired, so just get out there and live your best life.
Going to do it in my best shoes, Howard. You know it.
You know what? If you're going to do that, that's the way to do it. It is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.